from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net bonus podcast. My name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
And I'd like to wish everyone in Canada a happy Remembrance Day. I believe it's Veterans Day in the U.S.
Is it supposed to be a happy day?
No, it's supposed to be solemn. You're supposed to have moments of silence. We could edit some moments of silence in the show, but I don't think we're going to do it. I've never really done the whole moment of silence thing.
No?
I'm not the type of person who's ever silent. Can't do it.
True enough.
I think that's that works out for everybody's in everybody's favor. But the reason why we have Remembrance Day here in the Commonwealth for Americans or people not from Commonwealth countries that wonders what the hell is this holiday. Well, on November 11th, 1918. The Second World War came to an end. First World War came to an end.
We've started this historic story off well. Listen to us.
Shut up, man. Okay. After the First World War ended, and we won,
and we sent Hitler on his way.
Sent him packing. They decided there was a kind of a historical narrative around the date, because it wasn't just the 11th month. The 11th day. It was also the 11th hour. And funny enough about that whole 11th hour, when the armistice, the ceasefire started, there was one dude who got killed like literally 2 minutes before it happened. And I thought that for Remembrance Day, we should remember Private George Lawrence Price. Because at 10:58, he got shot in the heart by a German sniper while walking out against the recommendations of the people in the house. They're like, don't go out there, Georgie boy. And he got shot. The last person to have died in the war. Man. 2 minutes before the ceasefire.
Well, probably a guy who died comically right before, but I'm sure there were other people, you know, maybe not as well known. There's all sorts of stories that you hear about soldiers getting killed after peace agreements get signed. It's one of those things that we see.
You clean up house. Yeah, it's time to clean up house, be... You're like, Ryan, I always hated you, but...
No, it's more along the lines of the soldiers not knowing and...
Oh, yeah, for sure. Communication must be a fucking nightmare, particularly in the First World War.
Because there's a World War II movie with Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill?
Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, yeah. He was in a war movie?
Yeah, he's in a war movie nobody knows about. I wish I fucking knew the name of it. It's like a three-hour-long movie. In that one there, they have a couple stories about guys that get shot right when the peace treaty happens. And at the end, the guy that shoots a soldier after the end of the First World War, he makes it to the end of the Second, and after he shoots another dude after the armistice, he finds out and takes that guy to the hospital. And that's how they wrap that movie up.
Wait, so Mark Hamill was the douche?
No, that's some old dude. Mark Hamill is just one of the guys in the squad.
So I guess it's a pretty useful role to have when your face looks like it was hit by shrapnel. And you're like, yep,
actually,
in a war movie.
This was a movie he made right before that.
Really? So yep. This is before Star Wars?
No. It was between Empire and Return of the Jedi.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm learning something new every day.
Indeed.
I'm going to go out and try to find this movie someday. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to do it.
Well, if you talk a few seconds, I'll look it up, because I feel a bit silly, you know, bringing it up and not reminding anybody. If anyone can find it, it's actually not a bad movie. You got to watch it like it's a TV show that got broken into a movie, because that's really how it feels. Like,
but it's fine. You don't have to find it right now. We can just put it in the notes, which is a new feature, by the way, that I'm announcing on the bonus show, notes for the show. I actually had a member who sent me an email, and he asked me if it was possible to include the links, stuff like that, that I, you know, for in regards to what I talk about during the show, because sometimes I'll mention, oh, there was an article in Slate, oh, there was an article in this, and of course, I never put these links up, which was, you know, in retrospect, kind of douchey. Once a person really just opens up your eyes to the idea, well, why don't you put up just a link to what you're talking about?
It would be pretty simple. Yeah, why don't you back up the shit you're spewing?
Yeah, that's right, with some factoids.
Because sometimes that's all it really needs. You got an email, actually, from a Mormon after our Mormon episode last time saying that what we were talking about, that guy wasn't a Mormon. And it's like, sorry to tell you, buddy, but he was probably more Mormon than you.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, saying that Brian Mitchell wasn't a Mormon, I think I would ask, what the hell was he? But there were a few points where I can understand where he's like, well, they're not into homeopathy. And what I meant more at the time, and this is sort of like my my correction, is it's more that they're very open to the kind of nutritional end of the alternative medicine bullshit, like, you know, the yogurt enemas and all these other kinds of weird dietary rules that people have for themselves so that they can live forever.
Yeah.
Well, Mormonism is going to have those connections. But in he actually had a suggestion, that listener, saying, well, why don't you do one exclusively on Mormonism, do more on Mormonism, because it's not like the research is done. It's not like we're feeling, I know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
for sure.
You got to understand, we were talking about the child rapist side of Mormonism, and obviously it's not going to be what the average Mormon churchgoer is going
to hear or listen to. I think that anybody who isn't familiar with it at all, I keep mentioning this book, but it, you must read it. It's Under the Banner of Heaven, a fantastic book that really talks about that side of Mormonism. But I feel like we're getting off to the point.
Oh, and before we move on, the movie with Matt Hamill, or Mark Hamill, was the big red one. And Lee Marvin was the crotchety old guy who killed the soldier in the same way that this gentleman got shot right at the end of the war.
I can't believe you even remember this movie. When did you watch this?
I watched it like months and months ago. I was on a real war movie tip.
Was it good?
You know, Big Red One is probably one of the few war movies I hadn't seen before. That was pretty damn good.
And what's it rated on IMDb?
7.3.
Oh, well, if you're desperate one night for a war movie, there you go. Big Red One. All right, so today on the show we're going to be covering three different topics. The first topic is a Christian woman in Pakistan who was convicted of blasphemy in 2009, who is going to pretty soon be hanged for it. We're also going to be talking about child warfare, my little phrase about conservative Christian and their child-rearing techniques that we're going to be talking about. And finally, I'm going to include another section I called Headlines, which are just once in a while, whenever I see headlines that are interesting or cool.
Wacky,
I
mention it, zany, wild.
Well, they're not that wacky. But they're
depressing,
interesting, and they're stuff that I know that listeners would be into. So I decided, just as a kind of, this is a bonus show, at the end, headlines. If you guys like this idea for the show, if you're saying like, yeah, more headlines, this is cool, let us know. It is your feedback that is slowly changing the way that Good Atheist works. I hope that everybody realizes this. You know, in their minds, they're like, are my suggestions being listened to? I'm like, absolutely. I listen to many suggestions, and the good ones and the ones that I can do, I will try to do. Why not? Because I rely on you guys for your support, and why wouldn't I try to listen to people who support what I do? Seems like a freaking easy thing.
Except for the SOBs.
Not you again, no. All right, let's start by talking about a woman by the name of Asia Bibi, 45-year-old woman, mother of five, who lives in Pakistan, and she was convicted in 2009 of blasphemy. I don't know if you read... Did you read this story that I sent you?
I read the story about how it happened to her, and it sounds very unfortunate. It's
Well, here's the funny thing, because the blasphemy that happened, it's not her going and saying like, oh, Mohammed fucks pigs or anything like that. I mean, nobody dares say that shit. But the blasphemy really occurred merely through conversation, where she's, you know, these Muslims that are part of her community are trying to convert her, and she's just, obviously, she doesn't want to be converted. And then they have a conversation about the whole thing, in which she says, I believe in Christ, and now Muhammad, what has Muhammad done? Muhammad is dead, and Jesus is alive. He's
whoa,
here.
Whoa, she said that?
Yeah,
I didn't
Muhammad
read about
dead.
That. I didn't read about that part.
Yeah, well, okay, get this. It doesn't end. The second part is the villagers go apeshit. All right, they kidnap her. They basically, the mosque announced that she's going to be punished. Her face is bruised. She's paraded around the village on a donkey, and the local Christians freak out and try to alert the authorities, who take her into custody. But because of all the pressure from the villagers, who were like, "You need to kill this bitch," they were like, "We need to kill this bitch." And ergo, death sentence for blasphemy.
Man, because the story I had heard was just that she went and fetched water, and then all like for like she's like working in the fields, and she fetches water for everybody else working in the fields, and they're like, "We're not gonna drink water from a dirty Christian." And the next day, all of a sudden, they were like, "We've decided we hate you, and we're
now there was
accuse
a
dis-
there was
this.
A discussion about." See, I went searching for this, and there's always a couple Christian sites that focus on that, because for them it's their issue, right? They're like, look at the evil Muslims, and they're doing this to Christians.
Look at the Christian persecution that's going on in the Middle East.
Right, exactly. And you know what? As much as you can say, well, the news coming out of these Christians is going to be biased and slanted. Okay, fine. Read past that. They're still going to give you some information that, tell you what, I don't believe the Pakistani authorities and the story that they will concoct. Look, well, the blasphemy occurs just as a consequence of these two religions being incompatible. Ta-da! Wonder why would that would happen.
Mm-hmm. But not to say that what she did was wrong, but it was probably not the smartest thing to say. Just want to put that out there.
Yeah, but we all know what it's like when someone's in your face, in your grill, all the time, and then just you snap. What are you're not a robot, okay? Someone will be in your face, will say something. I mean, everybody who's listens to the show probably had this moment where some Christian nut job who's trying to force his religion down your throat, and finally you lose it, and you probably did something that you regret because you're like, wow, that was a bit mean. That was a little bit cruel. I did that out of anger and spite, and you're just like, that seems
even though he doesn't
unfair.
Exist, I feel bad for saying Jesus should suck my...
Suck my dong.
Yeah.
And that's a perfectly understandable feeling. But we all lose it once in a while. It fucking happens.
Yeah, when you lose it in Pakistan, you're liable to get put on death row.
Blasphemy laws, eh? Here's what I love about blasphemy laws. Religions who pretend that they are the truth and that everyone will eventually be converted to their belief, who say they have confidence in their faith, seem to really display the types of attitudes of someone who is not confident in something. Why would you even need to worry? In light of the truth, why would you need to incarcerate anyone or even kill them for saying something about your religion being untrue?
Because religion is about control, and these people aren't submitting to your control, which is obviously derived from God.
Well, see, that's a far fairer analysis about what religion really is at the end of the day. Like that, like I kept talking about, this is a system of control. And what people want is homogeny of belief. On a bit of a tangent, I was reading an article that was, I guess this actually leads us to the next part, which is about child warfare and Michael Pearl and his crazy thing, which we'll get to shortly. But there's a Christian subculture of people, very conservative, who are still in their own way liberal, like almost liberal in denial. They have a label for things. Like they'll say, oh, I can't believe my fellow Christians do this. Like, I can't believe my fellow Christians believe it's okay to punish a child, or that it's okay to
prosecute another religion, or any of the things
exactly.
that they decide is not Christ-like.
Right, exactly. Whatever they decide, it's, oh, that's totally un-Christian. And they're shocked and surprised that people who profess to believe the same things that they do act completely differently. And I think that at the end of the day, religions... all they really want is for everyone to believe exactly the same thing. And you know what? That is an impossibility.
And to live exactly the same kind of life.
Yep. It is an impossibility. All right? An interesting parallel to that is when the Spaniards went to New Mexico at first, they got a whole bunch of priests to try to convert the local Indians. And the locals were already practicing their own religion for like 1,000 years. But they were kind of, what's I'm looking for? They're polytheists. They really believed in a bunch of other religions. They don't really have a this one is the truth. So at first, they show up at church when these churches are built. I think they built like something like 500 or an impressive amount, 50 or maybe, I don't remember quite. But regardless, they build a lot. And at first, the natives show up and they decide, yeah, we'll attend your sermon. We'll include the Virgin Mary and all this other kind of stuff. Bam, you're in, baby. You're part of our religion too. But then all of a sudden, the priests realize, hey, they're still practicing something else. they're doing this other stuff. You got to stop doing this. So they start outlawing these native rituals, and then all of a sudden they start jailing, torturing, and then finally executing priests that still teach some of the old things. And then the natives go crazy. They declare war on the Spaniards, kill like all the fucking priests that they can, decimate those numbers, and the Spanish just fucking get the hell out of Dodge.
The Spanish left after that?
Yeah.
That's impressive. Typically, they just come back and kill everyone.
Well, it's still the middle of nowhere, New Mexico. All right? It's not exactly like you can muster a bunch of forces, send them over to that desert, and watch what happens.
You'd be surprised. They had a long reach.
Well, let me tell you. You want to know the thing that had the longest reach? It wasn't necessarily warfare. It was just germs, man. Germs that decimated 90% of all the natives. Just germs. They had no immunity to it, and they died. So, wow, we're the victor. We biological weapons can change population dynamics.
Yay.
22 million dead. That's how many natives died. 22 million.
So do Christians realize that they have atheists as an unlikely bedfellow in this whole we don't want to see this woman get hanged issue?
You know what,
or do they just completely ignore the fact that secularists are also out to try and stop stuff like this from happening?
You know what? The thing was, when I was reading the article about Asia in particular on that Christian site, they were asking, the first thing they were calling on for people to do is pray. Please pray! I'm just like, is that really the first thing you want people to do?
Well, when you believe in God with a ridiculous passion, then yeah. I can see how that's definitely step one. Phone dad. Capital D dad.
Phone dad. Well, I just think that at the end of the day, I mean, you're eliminating half of the people that would normally volunteer and do something because they've prayed and they figured, I did my part. I fucking prayed. When they did nothing.
Well, this is again the problem when you make the dogmatic assumption or the dogmatic decision that prayer is the most powerful form of anything.
Yeah, exactly. Saying, well, this will accomplish something. It's not going to stop her from getting executed, guys. You actually really need to do more. Don't start with prayer. But, I mean, what are you supposed to tell a bunch of delusional people who really are convinced that their faith alone is enough to solve anything? And you're like, it's not enough to save this woman's life. It can't do anything. It's been proven to do nothing. Even less than nothing.
Prayer?
People who know that they're being prayed for in medical studies ended up doing worse. Because they felt that they needed to be prayed for because something was definitely wrong. Prayer's bad. Don't pray, and don't even tell anybody you're praying for them. It's just, you're going to give them anxieties. So I don't think they really, if they acknowledge that there's they have secular allies, I really don't think that it matters to them so much as, I think they're seeing it from the perspective of these are martyrs, and Christians kind of like martyrs, I'll be honest with you.
They're already kind of preparing for her to be dead so that they can move on to phase B.
Yep. Yep.
Martyrdom.
Martyrdom. And it's a very powerful recruiting technique. Because who looks like the shit face? The person doing the killing. And we have a tendency to want to side with the one who was done injustice to. So you just make sure that you're constantly being done injustices, and eventually you win that whole moral gambit.
Well, you don't really have to work too hard in the Middle East, and especially, like, look at what's going on in Iraq right now. No one's talking about it, because nobody ever pays attention to Iraq anymore, because Americans are children, and they don't give a fuck about what's going on in the wars there, but it's basically Christians are being targeted all over Iraq right now. Like,
oh, man.
It's bad fucking news.
There was that one bombing a little while ago. How many people died? Like 50 people died or something?
50
like that?
To 70, something crazy.
It was insane. Like the security forces just stormed the church.
Yeah, Christian church got taken over. Security forces stormed it and killed everybody. Just, it was a massacre. There were photos of the church, and there were like, there was like nothing left but grease stains of like half the people, and on the wall, like,
devastation.
Yeah.
Devastation.
The kind of carnage you'd only expect to see when automatic weapons are fired at close range against helpless people.
And of course, no one wants to, you know, point out that this is a, you know, religious sectarian matter. No, 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 no. It's all politics. Whenever shit like that happens, blame politics.
Well, here's the political story behind that one. Christians, get the fuck out of Iraq. And I'm not saying that's what I'm supporting. I'm saying that's what the message is. So, in a way, I guess you could kind of say it's got a small political edge to it.
Yeah, and the fact is that Islam and politics, they're one and the same anyways. So whenever somebody tells me, oh, it's only political, I ask them, how do you differentiate between your religion and politics?
Now look, politics is very boring and it happens in a building with a bunch of people and very little gets done. Murder and killing is done when you start mixing religion and politics.
They get shit done.
Yes.
They get shit done. Politicians are too busy trying to get rich while religions are organized because they actually want to do things. They're the scarier motherfuckers because they have clear goals. All right, speaking of clear goals, let's talk about Michael Pearl. All right? There's an article in Salon. Yes, you'll be able to check this out from the notes.
Ooh,
included
notes.
With the show. Michael Pearl is what I would call a Christian disciplinarian. Because, I mean, I don't know what else to say. What is his job other than giving advice to parents?
Well, he's a pastor, so and pastors do as they want to do, which is pretend they know all the answers to living a righteous life. And so he published a bunch of books on how to raise your kid well by following the Bible,
essentially beating the shit out of them. Yeah, and it's funny too because we were reading. There's so much material if you go to the site.
Well, maybe the best introduction to this would be reading through some of the quotes, because I got them laid out in such a way that it kind of goes A to Z.
Well, hold on. Before we read the quotes, I just want to mention why this became kind of a news topic, because
sure.
there were some recent deaths. One was of a 4-year-old boy named Sean Paddock, who died when his adoptive mother wrapped him up in a blanket and essentially just,
asphyxiated him.
Asphyxiated him.
She was trying to keep him from getting out of his bed, so they wrapped him so tightly in a sheet that he could not breathe, and he died.
They cocooned him. And there was also another 7-year-old girl called Lydia Schatz, and she was beaten with a pipe. I think PCB...
PVC pipe. So it was like a plastic pipe.
To the point where basically she had... her organs stopped functioning. So... And what was really surprising, of course, is that these kids were conservative Christian homeschooled. They're part of an entirely different world that you and I just don't fucking understand.
The hardcore evangelical homeschooled people are those are the scary ones. They're kind of up there with the Jesus camp people.
They have their own world, their own politics, their own belief structure, and Pearl is part of that belief structure, and he's a really. Okay, now we can talk about some of the things from the site. Some interesting quotes. I want everybody who listens to the show, I want you to put yourself into the mindset of Michael Pearl, because this is not a crazy loon who doesn't speak, you know, who's basically speaking for only himself, and he's on the fringes. No, no, no. This is a man
book has sold over 1.5 million copies.
Yeah, 1.5 million fucking copies.
He's a big deal in these conservative Christian circles. His books are included in many parents' planning, like Christian parents' planning groups and stuff like that.
They're distributed in churches. And even though there's a segment of, the like I said before, the conservative Christian movement that are much more liberal than they would even imagine, who feel disdain from a child getting, beaten or even physically just assaulted, and they're trying to slowly speak out against it, but they're whispers. They are just whispers in the wind.
Well, the problem is when you look at the Bible, 99% of it says beat your kids, beat them,
not just beat them, fucking stone them to death if they disobey you.
Yeah, but you know, as far as that's on the sentencing side. Maybe we're just looking at like the how to raise your kid, and the answer is beat them. Seriously, it's like you gotta.
If you spare the rod, you spoil the child, and a spoiled child is no good. So beat them, with that rod.
Indeed.
And there are specific instructions as to how to do so. Okay, so you picked some. You loved it so much because you were just picking and choosing all the best quotes. I understand you have quite a few gems.
Yeah.
Let's listen to this.
The way to listen to this is not in the way that, you know, this Michael Pearl guy is a monster who's trying to be a monster. He's just a monster who wrote a book that, if interpreted incorrectly or applied incorrectly, or even with just a little bit of questioning, can cause you to accidentally kill your child.
So let's get
whatever's.
Into
whatever's.
And this just gives you his mind frame. If you want a child who will integrate into the New World Order and wait his turn in line for condoms, a government-funded abortion, sexually transmitted disease treatment, psychological evaluation, and a mark on the forehead, then follow the popular guidelines in education, entertainment, and discipline. But if you want a son or daughter of God, you'll have to do it God's way. Did you hear that?
The New World Order. Remember when I was saying the conservatives have a tendency to be very in line with conspiracy theories? That's the New World Order is part of that.
Yeah, he's talking about a fucking people getting their mark, you know, the mark of the beast. So that just goes to show you a little bit of his fundamentalist roots there.
Yeah.
All right, next one. As a child relates to the figurehead of authority, his parents, in like manner, he will later be prone to relate to God. If, when the parents say no, they do not mean no, then the thou shalt not of God will not be taken seriously either. So there you go. You're tying child discipline to the Lord.
Well, he liked to compare parents to kinds of quasi-gods in terms of their relationship with their kids. So if kids can come to worship and respect their parents, then they have a better way to worship God. So this is the way that he sees discipline. So for him, discipline is fucking Old Testament style.
Okay, next one. Proper application of the rod is essential to communicating the Christian worldview. During the developing years from birth through 6 or 7, the rod is an indispensable aid in providing the child with a controlled learning experience that will prepare him to make proper decisions when he is older. So, in other words, if you want your kid to be a good Christian in today's world, you better beat them onto the right path, because that's the only way to get there.
I had this story that he was writing. There was a woman. I want to read this. It's like two paragraphs of fucking pure gold. So a woman writes to Mr. Pearl and says, you know, my kid is angry all the time. I don't know what to do, and he's manipulating me or whatever. You know, a frustrated parent who has a kid that's figured him out. So yeah. She basically writes in, she's desperate. And here are the best lines that I could get. I mean, you'll have the link on the site for the whole thing. But this one is, "Mother, I am trying to make you angry." This is when he finally gives her advice to beat the kid. "Not hurt, not guilty, and certainly not timid. The devil is running away with your child. You can stop it. You can break the spell. For this angry perversion to survive, it must be fed. Shake off the senseless guilt and stand firm and consistent in not yielding to your son's demand. A proper spanking leaves children without breath to complain. If he should tell you that the spanking makes him madder, spank him again. If he is still mad, he desperately needs to an unswayable authority, a cold rock of justice. Keep in mind that you are angry, that if you are angry, you are wasting your time trying to spank his anger away. I could break his anger in 2 days. He would be too scared to get angry. On the third day, he would draw into a quiet shell and obey. On the fourth day, I would treat him with respect, and he would respond in kind. On the fifth day, the fear would go away, and he would relax, because he would have judged that as long as he responded correctly, there is nothing to fear. On the sixth day, he would like himself better and enjoy his new relationship to authority. On the seventh day, I would fellowship with him in some activity he enjoyed. On the eighth day, he would love me and would make a commitment to always please me, because he valued my approval and fellowship. On the ninth day, he would comment that I had the most cheerful... On the ninth day, someone would comment that I have the most cheerful and obedient boy that they had ever seen. On the tenth day, we would be the best of buddies."
Wow, 10 days to a perfect child. I like it.
10 days, and all he needs is about 5 days of pure fear. And after that, something magical happens. He abandons all hope of ever being an individual, and he succumbs to your authority and becomes an obedient zombie slave that you can mold in your will.
Okay, two more quotes. "And when you do spank, make sure that it is forceful enough to get her undivided attention. If she can scream huggy..." I don't know why anybody would scream huggy.
Huggy!
"If she can scream huggy while you are spanking her, you are probably not spanking hard enough."
Actually, I think I know what huggy means. It's kind of like, "Please stop hurting me, Mom. Instead, give me a hug." And you're like, "I will not even respond to that.
Shut up with Huggy fucking mouth.
You could still voice Huggy. I must beat you more.
Huggy my fist, you little shit.
And this is my favorite, because this is his explanation for just how, you know, yours pretty much summed up how the rod makes everything work again, but this is just really where it's like, wow, this is the magical power of the rod. It's like, right. After a short explanation about bad attitudes and the need to love, patiently and calmly apply the rod to his backside. Somehow, after 8 or 10 licks, the poison is transformed into gushing love and contentment. The world becomes a beautiful place. A brand new child emerges. It makes an adult stare at the rod in wonder, trying to see what magic is contained therein.
Ah, yes, the magic of beating your kids. Fucking magical. It's, you know what, it's so scary that people, like, the reason why it scares me the most is that we know that human beings are fallible, that they make mistakes, and kids are no different, you know, they make mistakes.
Kids are the most human of all, because they haven't been trained to be whatever the fuck we are when we grow up.
They make mistakes, and you know what, for a little while, yeah, they're little shits. They will haunt you with their cruelty, but it's just because parts of their brain responsible for things like empathy haven't fully developed. That's just how they are. They will be frustrating, but for someone to essentially succumb to the fantasy that abusing them somehow saves them or molds or shapes their behavior in a way that's positive is insane.
Well, these people are acting like... It's kind of that idea of when your TV isn't working, you should smack it upside the top of
what
it.
What a monkey thing to do.
Instead of, I don't know, adjusting the antenna or, you know, wiggling a cable or anything else. The idea that kids, that you should hit kids. I mean, look, I got the shit spanked out of me as a kid. I was a problem fucking child. And, you know, I'm not going to say that my parents did a bad job because they hit me. I just say that I made it such a hard time that they had to. Hitting a kid is kind of like trying to play a game of perfect Dance Dance Revolution. You're probably going to miss a step and fucking smack them at least once or twice. It's just going to happen. But the idea of creating this whole God-approved system for regularly beating your kids...
Which is what it is.
Yeah, and it's fucking terrifying because the question is asked, how often should you beat your kids? And it's like as much as is required. It's like the general idea is to have like that PVC pipe, and they're not talking about like taking it and beating the fuck out of your kid till he's like a bleeding, wounded mess on the floor, but they talk about just whacking him with it whenever he even begins to step out of line. Because that's how you get them off, like, on the straight and narrow, is by hitting them before they get off of it.
Yeah, it's how you save their soul. And he was even talking about carrying one around, you know, that you have it on your person. And I don't think that what he realizes is how easy it is to succumb to this disciplinarian instinct.
Well, he even said that you should do it up to 4 times a day for an unruly child. It's perfectly normal. You know how often it's like scientists and fucking youth, psychiatrists and stuff like that say you should, it is an acceptable level of hitting your kid? Maybe once a week, maybe if your kid is horrible, then that might be acceptable. Maybe.
4 times a day to an unruly child. What does that even mean, unruly? Does that mean independently minded?
I don't know. I had some friends, like, growing up who were, like, hardcore homeschooled evangelical Christians. And I remember the mom used to say that one of the daughters was, you know, an unruly child. No, she wasn't. No, she was unruly like Todd Flanders from The Simpsons.
Oh, man. Maybe she was unruly if they gave her a bit of sugar.
I don't know what the deal was, but yeah, they used to, and they used to take it pretty seriously. Spare the rod is a spoil the child. That is an attitude that many people fucking take.
I think, but what I was trying to say before was this attitude of, or not this attitude, but this reality of what happens when you create a culture of discipline and physical abuse. There was a crazy study. I'm trying to remember. I wish, you know, I'm just pulling this out of my head now, unfortunately. But there's been a number of studies. One of them was this experiment they did with students in Germany. And what they did was that they got a bunch of people to be inmates, and they got a bunch of people to be guards, and they wanted to see what would happen. They had to stop it. They had to stop this experiment because things had gotten crazy and out of control.
That wasn't German. It was I think it was like the Harvard or the...
there was a couple. There was actually... This is a few examples.
Because they've done it even on a French TV show, too, just recently we watched.
There's variations on these experiments, but generally speaking is that when you put people in power and authority, they take way too advantage of it. It becomes scary. And again, like I said, the most frightening thing about it is you create a kind of culture of abuse that is acceptable. And you've convinced yourself is necessary. You're just like, I'm saving this kid's life by beating the shit out of them with this pipe.
The authority that these people derive comes from these books and comes from God, and you have to worry about what kind of crazy shit. You have situations like this family that kills their kids. Now the interesting thing about the most recent one is that it was a family with six kids, and three of them were adopted. They were from like Libya, and it was two of the three that one of them died. One of the Libyan kids died, and the other one ended up in the hospital because he had to be beaten so harshly. And the interesting thing about that is he had kidney failure because of the way that they were hitting him with the PVC pipe on their back, these fucking religious nut jobs,
say you should,
because this is where all your organs are and they're unprotected. And so they're literally following the fucking manual and killing their kids, and they just don't, number one, they don't understand how easy it is to fuck up children's fucking internal
fragile bodies.
Exactly. Yeah. And number two, they don't understand the fact that these are adopted kids from a war-torn country. Of course they're going to be fucked up. Of course they're going to act out. Do you literally think that all kids are going to come fucking prepackaged and react exactly the same to this kind of bullshit? They will not. Especially not these adopted kids coming from God knows what kind of past, who have God knows what kind of fucking dysfunctions.
I think maybe some parents out there, a large number of them, forget that kids are just they're non-grown-ups, but they're still people. You know, they have the same compulsions, desires as every individual does. I somehow feel like in some parents' minds they just see them as extensions of themselves, or almost as wind-up toys that are supposed to do as your bidding.
Like, well, these religious people think that, you know, the only thing stopping their kids from becoming sinful, hell-bound normal people is the Lord's word, you know? And this is the big problem, because science unequivocally says that corporal punishment is wrong. And
it doesn't work.
It does not work. Like, with kids, it's just proven again and again. If you time out a kid, you're going to have the same results as you would as if you beat them in the meantime. It's just later on, you have less problems. Fucking corporal punishment causes increased rates of aggression, delinquency, defiance, attachment to delinquent peer groups, fucking mental health problems, problems in relationships with their parents.
And they think that violence solves things. This is the most important lesson.
Acceptance of aggression and violence as acceptable responses to conflicts and problems, increased likelihoods of being physically abused or of causing physical abuse in future adult relationships, and of course increased likelihood of abusing their own kids. They call it a cycle.
No.
Because I I'm one of those people that got beaten, and I say, well, I'm not going to beat my kids. Well, you know, if the example that I read that I loved was saying that out of everybody that smokes, a third of them are going to get lung cancer. Just because the other two-thirds didn't get it doesn't mean smoking doesn't cause lung cancer.
It's true, and just because a cycle happens doesn't mean you can't divorce yourself from that cycle. Both my parents were from cycles of serious abuse, but I was never abused myself. And luckily, though, there's also positive cycles where we don't abuse your kids and their kids don't abuse their kids. These cycles are positive. We move more towards these, even though we have certain groups that are obsessed with violent, terrible, controlling cycles that they can't seem to break themselves out of. But trust me when I say, I mean, it sometimes gets depressing. You're saying, oh my God, is there a religious revival? Are we losing the battle? And really, I actually think what's happening is that we're slowly winning. It's just that there are attitude changes, cycles that need to be broken, cycles of abuse. The kind of mental abuse that you get from religion eventually gets broken.
What scares me is that Christian people believe that their way, you know, the rod, works, and it's shown to work throughout history. And I don't understand where they get this, because
history sucks.
Because we were obviously way more fucked up back in the day.
Yeah.
Everybody was crazy. I mean, we are probably still crazy, but we were way more crazy back then. Way more miserable, way more fucked up.
Way more violent.
And the fact that it wasn't covered doesn't mean it didn't happen. And the kind of crazy shit that used to go on back in the day is not anything that anybody should consider a good thing. Because I'm sure there were many, many more instances of parents just murdering their kids and just getting away with it. Because that's just how it was. Oh, corporal punishment got out of control. That kid had the devil in him.
He's a witch. Okay, let's move on. Let's cover some headlines before we end the show. So there were two headlines that I thought that they were kind of funny, and I wanted to mention them. Because otherwise, they would pass away in the wind.
I thought you said they weren't funny. Are they depressing or funny? They're funny. Okay.
All right, the first one is that scientists have discovered previously unknown lizard species, and they did so at a Vietnamese lunch buffet. Vietnamese lunch buffet in an isolated Vietnamese village. There's this delicacy that's made of these lizards. But the thing is that the species was not known to science. So scientists travel there, and they have an arrangement with the cook. The guy's like, I'm going to save you some that are alive. So when you calm down, because he basically keeps them alive until he kills them.
You have to taste them when they're alive. They're
right.
Better.
They got to be deep fried when they still got a little bit of kick in them. But the problem was that the cook got drunk and ended up cooking all of them. And then they had to hire some locals to essentially try to trap some more. But I thought that was kind of funny that you go and have dinner and you discover a new species. So, hey, folks, there's still plenty to discover out there.
I wonder how many extinct species you could have said this about, like, 50 to 100 years ago.
Well, the most delicious ones have long since gone away.
Or the ones that caused the most powerful erections.
All right, the second headline is something that I know that you're going to love. Basically, they found that stem cells may boost muscle development. So what they did was they had mice, and they gave them injuries. Don't ask me how they did this. All right,
you probably don't want to know. Nancy Kerrigan whacked in the legs with little metal batons.
No, what they did was they threw the mice down some staircases, little mini mice staircase,
and told them not to tell nobody about what happened. No one will believe you, little micies. Don't worry, the SPCA will believe you.
So yes, an injury was simulated, and then stem cells were injected where the injury was, and there was 170% increase in mass, 50% increase from the previous muscle mass. So if you're injured and I inject you with these delicious stem cells, you may end up getting much more muscular.
God damn, I want to know, like, all the in-between, whether or not it's just like you get a vial of delicious stem cells and you just put a needle in, suck it out, stick it in your thigh and go, and then it's all good. Stem cells are magical. Why are we not doing more with them? They're so amazing.
All right. See, that's why I thought that you'd be interested in that little bit that appeared on BBC News.
Size of the muscle increased by an average of 170% with a 50% increase in mass. This is better than steroids.
God. Way better. It's fucking super awesome.
But is it without the testicular shrinkage?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man.
It's just injecting more cells in you, man. That's all it is.
It doesn't
fundamentally alter your body.
But that's like saying it's just like injecting more testosterone.
No, dude, they're
or estrogen
just
in
cells.
You.
They don't change
nothing.
They're just awesome. They are awesome.
They are awesome.
Okay, well, you know what? I think that that's a show. If you guys like the little headline sections, we'll have more, maybe two, three, or four.
And I guess it's probably about time we do another Ask God or favorite Bible quotes, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think we'll do favorite Bible quotes for the next show. The next free show for everybody so that they can listen to some awesome quotes. Maybe we might pick Quran quotes depending on how things go.
Ooh, how learned. We could do all the holy books. How about this? Let's open it up to them all. So if people have some funny ones from the Jehovah books or from the Mormony type books.
Yeah, okay.
We do have past Mormon listeners after all.
It's true.
So.
All right. Well, that's what we're going to do for the next show. And we'd like to thank you all for being contributing members. Hopefully you guys can stay members for as long as essentially the world is a fucked up place that we need to lambast and make fun of.
Until it is a Tron-like atheist world.
With flying M's. I don't even understand those ships in that movie. They look like a big M.
It's in a video game. Relax.
Whatever. Oh, yeah. I guess that explains that you had to use characters like font characters as enemies. That's why it's a big M.
Yep.
And you fight them with a big O.
Yep.
Oh, video games. Don't ever change. All right, with that, my name is Jacob Forte.
I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody. And that news of the Obama and the tax cut thing, unbelievable.
It's already going towards a dumb place. As soon as they start saying that raising taxes on the rich, even a couple percentage points, is class warfare, you know they're not speaking logically or rationally anymore.
Nope. It's the rich are like, we don't want to pay more money. Well, you got paid out even while the economy was collapsing. And now you're just like, I don't want to give any of it back. Oh, okay, I get it. We get it now. We get it.
Yep.
We will eat you, you rich people. We will eat you.